Okay, everyone, we're going to go ahead and get going here. Looks like we've got a really good crowd today. I think you guys are going to be in for a substantial treat. Welcome to the first in what is going to be a new special VIP only, invitation only, mastermind only offering by Search Engine News in 2016. And this is kind of our mastermind special expert guest series that we're going to be running. And we have got some fantastic speakers aligned for you. And this great, great year of exciting SEO changes. So, up first, we have Beth Kollick. For those of you who are not familiar with Beth, she's a graduate of the Mays School of Business at Texas A&M and a lifelong Aggie fan. I do not hold that against her, though, as a Rock Chalk Jayhawk that I am. Beth is a very, very well-known and very practiced speaker. We met on the speaker circuit. We have done, gosh, Beth, what have we done? We've done PubCon, State of Search together. I think we met at Local U once.
Yes,
Beth
that's
is great.
correct.
She always, yeah, she treats me really well when I go to Dallas, making sure that I
Or
have, of course, a designated driver because that's very important.
yeah, I can vouch for that.
Beth has spoken at Local U, PubCon, State of Search, too many conferences to list. She's covered topics ranging from email marketing to local SEO to site migration and other issues. Beth is also the president of Dallas Search Academy, Dallas Search Engine Academy in Texas, and a member of the board on the Dallas-Fort Worth Search Engine Marketing Association. She is one of the driving forces behind the great State of Search regional conference that I've been fortunate to attend the last couple of years. Beth has over 20 years of experience. I could go on and on. She's a continuing education instructor on SEO at SMU and a guest lecturer at the University of Texas. So it's a mouthful, Beth. So I know
Yes.
congrats, build up big. So because I know that there's lots of
Build me up
fantastic
big. That's not,
content.
that's totally fine with me. Thanks a lot, Casey.
Her session title today is "How the Pros Design a Website Without Killing Their Rankings." And so, without any further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Beth. Beth, thanks so much.
Oh, you bet, Casey. Thank you so much for having me here today. And guys, I love webinars, but I like meeting people in person better. So as I talk to you, I'm just going to really imagine that all of us are sitting in a room together having a conversation about this particular topic. So I'm really looking forward to the Q&A session. You can hear me talk all day, but let's just get started. Casey, you've done a great introduction. Really, the only other thing I'd like to say is, speaking of site migration, I'm going to be rebranding in 2016 to Search Engine Academy, Texas. Dallas Search Engine Academy, I've had since 2012, but I've been teaching digital marketing since and doing digital marketing consulting since 2008. But like Casey said, I have about 20 years of experience, maybe a little more than that, but I'll take 20 years of experience working with everything from businesses, Fortune 500 companies, all the way to small local businesses. My heart is really about helping people. The business will come, the people that I have good relationships with will work together. But I want to be a resource for you guys. So after this meeting, please feel free to contact me if you have any further questions. And let's see how we can work together if that's appropriate. If not, we can certainly I'm happy to answer questions anytime for anyone. So let's get started on talking about moving your website. Why would you change your website? I know that may be kind of an obvious answer, but it really got me thinking. There's so many different reasons why people would change their website. And some of the more obvious ones are lower down in the list. They might want to realign with their business goals or design changes over time. You don't want your site to look too dated. But there's some really important SEO reasons why you want to change your website right now. And one of the things that was announced in late 2015 is an initiative that Google and Twitter, and I'm sure some other companies are going to be coming on board with, which is this accelerated mobile pages project. And we're all still learning about this right now, but basically, it's a stripped down version of HTML and CSS that you're going to implement, hopefully, on your pages to make your site faster and faster in mobile, since mobile is such an important part of our strategy. So, as we are creating these faster sites, these better sites, also moving to HTTPS, because we know that Google gives a little bit of a bump to sites that have that secure setting. Maybe you're not selling items online, but now Google's at wanting you to do that. So there's all these different reasons why you'd want to change your website. So we just need to kind of keep that in mind. Also, we need to look at your website's technology. Your website's technology can be seriously affecting your digital marketing and SEO. So I don't know about, you know, how many we have in the room that are business owners as opposed to practitioners and have several clients. But I know for me personally, sometimes I have people that come to me with some pretty challenging website technologies that we've got to work through. You know, a lot of people love Squarespace. They just think it's absolutely fantastic. Or they I've had many clients actually come to me with the GoDaddy website that they created. And then some of them even have older website technologies. Maybe somebody's cousin made a site for them in Dreamweaver. Or perhaps they were doing something a little bit more advanced, but it was from several years ago. So it was a custom programmed content management system. So those things present challenges that we need to evaluate when we decide, okay, what are we going to do next? How are we going to move our site to a new, faster, better technology? When you look at like the enterprise level people, they could be using an all-in-one platform that's trying to do a lot of things at one time. Maybe it's serving up an application, an online application, such as e-commerce, and they're using this really advanced software. But then when it comes to their marketing website, it's a huge challenge. Just getting, if you have to go to your IT person every time you want to make a website page change, and I'm sure some of you have come up against that, then that really becomes a challenge as an online marketer if you've got that roadblock in between. So if you don't have access to log in and make simple changes to your website, that's an issue. And another huge reason why you'll want to evaluate your website technology as you get started in a project like this. Personal pet peeve, I'm sure you've all seen this. But, you know, they say that you kill kittens when you use bullet points in slides. Well, I say you kill kittens when you think that a 1099 site from GoDaddy is going to actually give you search engine optimization. And I cannot tell you, you know, how many businesses I've come across that is really what they truly believe, that they're getting SEO just by paying for that GoDaddy site. So I'm a personal huge fan of WordPress. And as I was just talking about a few minutes ago, you know, if these larger organizations have a challenge because they have an application or some kind of online function. I have a client that is in the ID cards industry. So they have a whole section of their site that is used for ordering and creating these ID cards. Well, their website used to be under that as well. And so they came to one of my classes, and I explained to them how they needed to have a separate site that was all about marketing their business, not necessarily about fulfilling what it was that they were doing. So some people may disagree with exactly this point, but I just think it's super important. You can make it look to the end user as a seamless site with good design, but use the tools that you have for creating a good marketing website separate from the tools that you have that do a great job at e-commerce or some other types of sites. So that's just a kind of a personal soapbox for me, but I think it is important, even if you're not using WordPress, to use something where you're going to be creating a unique website. So I work with a lot of larger clients, but I actually have maybe some confidentiality issues. So we are going to talk about one of my smaller clients and how and use them as an example throughout this presentation of a website migration. So in 2011, this is what their site looked like. It actually was an older installation of WordPress, and it had been performing for them pretty well, but it wasn't mobile friendly, which is extremely important as we know. And just to have a little fun, I went even back further in time. Somebody that loved Flash was created that site in 2007. And then the site from 2009, all of the text on the website was embedded, was part of images. So that, you know, just when we went from the 2009 version to the 2011 version, it was absolutely amazing what a difference they had. Their business tripled just because now the search engines could actually tell what their site was about. So we transitioned from that into something with a little bit nicer design and updated logo. And most importantly, it's a mobile responsive site now. So Inwood Security Vaults is a local Dallas private safe deposit box. And so now they have even more information, and it's made it even more accessible. But as we did this transition from the site that had tripled their business, even though it wasn't that pretty, we wanted to make sure that this new site really performed for them. So you'll see a few examples of how I use that data further in the presentation. So the big thing here, one of the most important things you can do when you're talking about moving a site and making sure you don't make mistakes, is to use Google Search Console or Google Webmaster Tools. It is really, it is your friend. It is the place where you can find out a ton of information that's going to help you get organized. And getting organized is a huge part of this site move and making sure that you do it in a good way. So be sure that you have access to Google Search Console. If you don't and need some more information about that, we can talk about it in the Q&A section. But that is a huge thing that you'll need access to. And you need to have a very good relationship with your web developer. And if you're using WordPress, make sure that that web developer is really a technical person. Do they just know how to use the WordPress backend? If they just know how to use the WordPress backend, they might not be the best person for you to be working with. You need a person on your team, someone that's accessible, that knows how to go in at the FTP level, that knows how to go in at the host level and make changes to your WordPress installation. And we'll talk about in a few minutes why that's important. I also wanted to mention in the slides that there is a great article on Search Engine News that goes into a whole lot of detail that's covering this webmaster's checklist to protecting traffic. So if you haven't taken a look at that article, it is really good addition to this presentation, and I highly recommend that you take a look at that. So what's next? We want to look at 6 steps to making that SEO-friendly website move. And the main part of this is that we want to stay organized. So all of these steps are around being careful and intentional about being organized. So our first step is going to be to crawl your own site. We need to know what pages Google sees on your website. If we aren't aware of all the different pages and PDF files and something that someone created 3 years ago, but maybe is still getting a lot of traffic, we have to be able to crawl that website and see that information. So a couple of different ways you can do it is use Screaming Frog, and then also you can just do like a regular Google search. So I'm not sure how many of you guys in the Mastermind group have used Screaming Frog before, but they have a free version. It's an app that you can download. It's good on the Mac or the PC, and it is, I'm always finding out new things that Screaming Frog does. It's really kind of one of those secret gems in the SEO world, because you can find so much information out about a website. Their title tags, their meta descriptions. We'll be talking about internal links in just a minute. But in this particular case, you just put in your website address, you click the start button, and then it goes through and it looks at all of the information that's on your website, public out on the web. And you can filter this by HTML. And then it gives you basically a list of all the website pages that are on that website. And some of them may be pages you didn't realize were even out there, but it's important to know about them, because now we're going to get organized as we move our site to the new platform, or even from one WordPress installation to another, as we did in this case. Then the next thing I would do is do a Google search. And if you can't see it on that slide, it says site:inwoodvaults.com. And if you'll notice, I did it for the whole domain. I did not do it for www.inwoodvaults.com, because you want to see everything that Google has out there indexed by their spiders, you know, the pages that are listed out there. You want to be aware of them. And what I would do is compare this data to what you see in Screaming Frog. You may see some a couple of different changes between one platform or another, and organize that all into a spreadsheet. So if you go back here to Screaming Frog, you can see you can export this list and you can export it to a to like an HTML, I mean an Excel file or a CSV file, and start getting organized with that. Then when you go back and do your Google search with the site colon, you can add to that list as you need to if you see some additional information. So the second step is that we want to map that site architecture. We've done a list of all of our website addresses, our URLs, but now we want to take a look at how the menu structure is organized, how the sections of the website are organized. It's going to give you some additional insight as you move from one platform to another of exactly where you might be missing some content in a different way, how content is put together. And Excel works great for this. There's some fancy tools that help do this, but I prefer Excel. This is actually for another client that I was working on. And on the left is the home, about, windows, doors, and how the site was originally. And then the spreadsheet on the right is how I reorganized, or how I recommended that we reorganize that page. This is a time when you might start thinking about, do you need to rename some URLs? Is there some opportunity to rename pages to make them more SEO friendly? Because now is the time that you would want to do that when you're moving from one site platform to another. And then spend some time really thinking about how you're going to name those pages, because it's not something that you want to change over and over again multiple times a year. And we'll talk about that when we discuss a case study at the end. Then we want to take our before and after URLs and put them into an Excel spreadsheet. And hopefully you guys can see this on the screen. I think it does a really good example of showing how you can get organized with this. This particular one is from a very large insurance company website, hundreds of pages, and we had this all organized in actually a Google spreadsheet. And it's got the menu items, because there were all kinds of submenus and drop-down menus. So we've got our menu item, our old URL, and the new URL. So on the old URL, that some of these key pages were actually subpages. They were underneath, they were secondary pages. So one of the things that we did is we decided, okay, what's a better URL for this content? And we wrote new content for it. So in that first line, it now says Architects and Engineer Insurance Texas, because that's what they were trying to go after, rather than putting it under Commercial Insurance Agent and Broker Dallas, you know, this really long URL that's not really servicing that content as well as it should be. So in this particular case, we had multiple tabs. I was collaborating with the programmer, and we were working on how we were going to reorganize all the content on this website so that it would perform better for the client. Then we want to go back and check our internal links. We want to see how the pages are currently linking together, because if we move content from the old site to the new site and it's pointing to an old URL, that's really not ideal. We're going to be using 301 redirects, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So they will eventually get redirected to the right content, but anything we can do on the site to make it really simple for Google to understand how the content is connected to each other. And I talk about this in my training class a lot, that really good basic SEO is about making it as clear as we possibly can to the search engines what our pages are about and how our pages are organized on our website. When you have that mindset, you end up doing much better with your SEO efforts if it's all about just trying to make things as clear as possible. So we can use Screaming Frog, do an export of all of our inlinks, and then we come up with a spreadsheet that looks, this is just a section of that spreadsheet. So the bank safe deposit boxes, add new restrictions, is a blog post. And within that blog post, we've got several links that go out to other pages. Some of those are from menu items, and some of those might also be in the body of the article. So we want to go through and double check where are the links on that page, and are they pointing to links that are now going to be outdated on the new site. And in this particular case, I found where the privacy policy for this one is pointing to a different page, and that probably has to do by not having the trailing slash. But here I was doing research for this presentation and found a little something that's going to help me improve my client's website just by tweaking a little bit of information on that. So then we want to check external links. And sometimes people are, you know, hesitant to sign up for some of these link checking programs because they don't want to pay the monthly fee. So if you want to go with a free alternative, you can go back to your friend, Google Search Console, and go to this section under search traffic, links to your site, and your most linked content. And you will see a list of the pages that people link to from elsewhere on the web. And that's a really great place to start. And of course, it's free. So we all like free. And so I would recommend that you take a look at those, that list of links, and make sure that you're aware of all the content that is being linked to on your site. And if you're going to be changing that URL, you of course want a 301 redirect, which we'll talk about in the next step. But if you have a relationship with the place that might be linking to it, it would be worth it to contact them and give them the new link address. So you can use other paid tools as well. You can use Open Site Explorer from Moz. You can use Majestic, SEMrush. This is an example of a report of referring domains from Majestic. What I like about this is you can go in and see all the referring domains, but if you click on the number under backlinks, it will give you a list of the links that are coming from, the links that are coming into your website and where they're coming from. So again, it's a really important step to know, someone's linking to this content on my website, and do I have that URL properly set up on the new version of my website, so that someone doesn't get an error? Because it's really frustrating when people come to the content on your website and they get a 404 error, and we'll talk about that in a second. So the big final step, which is more than just one step, really, is to do your redirections to make sure that now you know where the old content was and where it's going to be pointing to now, that you create these 301 redirects. And so what a 301 redirect is it tells a visitor, including a Google search, it tells them that the page has moved. So the spiders say, hey, you know, I was looking for this page. And then your website goes, oh, it's not here anymore. It's moved to here. And so they're redirected to a new URL on the page. You may hear people talk about 302 redirects, which are temporary redirects. I do not recommend using those. It's why would you do anything temporary when you're talking about moving your site? And what we're trying to do is avoid getting a 404 error. So I usually use the example of just typing in a irrelevant page to show people what a 404 error is. But let's say that there's a link to an article on your website that someone clicks on, and you haven't set up your 301 redirects correctly. Then people are going to be frustrated because they're going to come to a page like this that has an error message. Just as an aside, you can also customize that error message and makes it a little bit more user-friendly, and you can say something like, we just redesigned our site, and we're so glad that you're visiting us. Please visit our homepage for more information about our company. So I usually recommend that people do that just to make it a little bit more user-friendly when if people happen to come to a page. This is a client that I worked with actually in late 2014, and he actually had a lovely website that just needed a little bit of tweaking with his look and feel. But he didn't like the way the website looked, so he went to Squarespace and designed his own website, and he didn't know anything about doing redirections correctly. And so when he did these redirections, he missed out on key pages on his website having 404 response codes. And that's another way that Google Search Console or Google Webmaster Tools can help you, because it will give you a list of all the pages after you've done the site move, it'll say, hey, these are pages that are not showing up in cert for us anymore, and we're getting this response code 404, the page isn't there. You're going to always see a few pages after you do the site move that come up with 404 codes, even if you've been super organized. But they're probably going to be less important pages on your site, or maybe a random PDF that someone uploaded at some point. But it does give you a clue about where to go and fix those. But what I find interesting is that these are key pages on this particular client's site that haven't been handled correctly. So how do you think this affected his search results, since now these key pages can't be found anymore? So that's just another reason why it's super important to stay organized and do these 301 redirects. And redirects can be a little bit overwhelming if you've never done them before. One way that you can do it if you're using WordPress is they do have plugins such as the redirection plugin that will allow you to set up, here's where my old website address was, and here's where the new website address is going to be. So the page used to be located at this URL, and now it's located at this URL. One of the things that I would not recommend is that you have a programmer doing some 301 redirects with htaccess, which we'll talk about in a second, and using the plugin. You need to do one or the other. So the question is, if you're going to go more advanced and use your htaccess for your 301 redirects, there's a lot of reasons you might do that. Sometimes your programmer may think that the plugin is a little too code heavy and will slow down the site. And if they do, that's great. Then you get them to log in with FTP and go into your hosting account and edit with any text editor. They can look up the information on how to do those 301 redirects. So I would recommend that for much larger websites. And also, if you don't plan on changing any URLs after you make that move. And so again, you need to have your programmer friend. You need to be working really closely with your website programmer so everybody is all on the same page. One of the situations I've seen, like we talked about earlier, is they're using the redirect plugin, then the programmer's doing some things, and there's a conflict there. So communication is really key, because you don't want to be duplicating effort and causing even more confusion with the search engines. Another thing that you also want to make sure is implemented is your URL canonical tag. Basically, what this does is it tells Google and the other search engines, no matter how you found this website page, whether you found it through a 301 redirect, whether you found it through some other way, this is the website address that we want you to store on your search engine in your index. So it tells Google the exact website address, and it's stored in the header section of your pages. And if you're using a plugin like Yoast, that is all set up for you. But you need to be aware of this canonical tag if you're doing your website in another platform, and make sure that that's getting set up correctly for you. So then what happens? You've done all this work, you've done your 301 redirects, you've held your breath, you've made the new site live. Then what happens next? How does it affect your results? So the first thing that happens is that Google sees there's been a big change on your website. And these charts are crawl statistics from Google Webmaster Tools or Google Search Console. And you'll notice how there's a huge spike in the search engine robots looking at the site. This is not Google Analytics results. This is actually showing how often those search robots are going in and looking at the site, because they went, wait a minute, everything just changed. So they are trying to update the search engine index with the correct information. And that's another reason that in SEO and digital marketing, we encourage people to blog and add content to their site on a regular basis, because it keeps the search engines coming back when they see something new. If nothing has changed on that website in 5 years, then they're not coming back and visiting your site on a regular basis, and you don't look as relevant in SEO results. So that's one thing to definitely that you can definitely see, and I would go into Google Search Console and look for that after you've brought your site live. And so here's an example of a site that got moved, and this is data from Google Analytics. So we've made an annotation in Google Analytics about when that new site went live. And what I normally notice when a new site goes live is there is a slight dip in traffic as the search engines catch up. They're re-indexing the site, and they're making sure that all the correct information is in their search engine. But what I've seen on many different sites is after that slight dip, there's quite a bit of an increase, especially if you've been very strategic about rewriting your URLs to be more SEO friendly and more descriptive. So, take a look at your site at 30 days and 60 days and 90 days and compare your organic search traffic, and most likely you're going to see a dip and then a rise in your traffic. So I mentioned this at the beginning of the presentation, but, I've got people on the call from all different sizes of companies. So this actually came from a case study that was released by Moz, I think, at the end of last week. And it was a large e-commerce store. I believe it was Wayfair.com. But I thought it was really relevant since we're talking about 301 redirects. And basically what happened is that they had a great merchandising team that over time was renaming the URLs to be more relevant. They changed it from barstool to bar-stool to 29-inch-bar-stool. Well, that's terrific. Those are, that final URL is written that's very SEO friendly, but they were making those changes pretty frequently on their hundreds of thousands of products. So the website team was communicating well with the merchandising team, but because they did so many different 301 redirects, they actually noticed a drop in traffic. And the reason that that is that Google does, if you're doing a bunch of 301 redirects, Google doesn't always pass 100% of that page value every time you do a 301 redirect. Now, if you've got a site that you're moving to a new technology, that's one other reason to be very strategic about writing your URLs in a SEO-friendly way, is that you don't want to see a dip in traffic, obviously. You want to see a raise in traffic. So have a plan and don't continue to change those pages too much once you've had the new site up, or at least give it many months or even a year before you start changing those URLs again to avoid that particular situation happening. So to wrap it up in my little technical talk here about moving sites and how important that is, obviously, we talked about you're going to have to change your site on a regular basis. I can't imagine anybody going that's really serious about SEO going more than 3 years without changing their website from a design standpoint or a layout standpoint. And then new technologies like the Accelerated Mobile Pages project could have it happening sooner. Absolutely, don't ignore Google Search Console. Many, many people don't even know it exists. I think we're in a mastermind group where we do feel very comfortable with that, but Google Search Console has great information for you. And although we sometimes, as business owners, find it hard to do this, it's real important to stay organized using spreadsheets, using Google Docs to communicate within your teams is extremely important so that everybody's on the same page about what's going to be happening next. And, as I've said, make friends with your programmer because they can really help you take it to the next level. So if it's your programmer, if it's your IT team, whoever is going to be, if it's your web designer, whoever it is that's going to be helping you, have them on hand and ready. Don't wait until you get into a tight situation and then try and find somebody to help solve that problem for you. So with that, I hope that we have some great Q&A because I've been talking to you as if you're here in the room with me, but you're not. So now I really want to hear from you guys about any questions that you have about anything that we've talked about today.
Fantastic, Beth. Very, very great presentation. I know it's still a very murky content area for most SEOs, myself included. For those of you on the call, I know you've done site migrations. We're going to go ahead and go through a lot of questions here. What I'll do is I'll read the question here, Beth, and then we'll go ahead and have you answer there. So the first question I have here is from William in Montreal. William, sorry it's so cold there. William's question to Beth is, the old URLs are what's driving traffic and visibility. How do you maintain that with a new site? Can you go over that quickly?
Sure. And that's one of the fun things about reading through a presentation. So I'm loving that there's questions. So the old URLs need to be 301 redirected to the new URLs. And so basically that's going to happen at the time of the launch of the new site. And so then when people try to visit the old URLs, they will be redirected, repointed to the new content on your website. I do not recommend that you point all of the old content just to the homepage. Don't just 301 redirect everything to the homepage. You should be 301 redirecting it to the exact new page on your site that has the same information.
Right. And this process really, folks, especially for William on the call, is called URL mapping. When we want to do a site migration, you always want to do, of course, that detailed content audit. And we do have resources on that in Search Engine News. And with the URL map, you're going to do a full inventory of your site so that you can do as many page-by-page redirects as possible. As Beth mentioned, it used to be an accepted practice years ago that if you weren't sure that you had a related piece of content, you would maybe just 301 redirect that to your homepage. And yet Google actually came out a little while back and says that's a terrible practice because it's terrible for users. You want to go ahead and redirect that to something related or just have a custom 404 page. So very, very good point there. Let's go ahead and get the second question here. This is also looks like from Rick. Crystal's going to move that over. I would like to hear Beth's thoughts on changing the domain name. And his example is, I have an old domain, but it has a hyphen in the name. We'd like to remove the hyphen, maybe do a brand new domain name. He asks, is this something advisable? What are some of the risks he might want to keep an eye out for?
Well, since I'm getting ready to do that myself, I've been thinking about this a lot. and really, I mean, it's definitely true that if you move to a new domain name, that you're going to lose a little bit of SEO juice or SEO. Actually, someone was talking about not using that the other day. Losing a little bit of SEO authority if you move it to a new domain name, no doubt. If you do your good URL mapping, and you've still got great content and a great website with that you're going to continue to grow over time, in the long run, you'll be fine. But you do need to do all those things that we were talking about earlier, which are making sure that you map the content from one to the other. I mean, you can have some of those same challenges even if you're just moving to an HTTPS site. Mm-hmm. What I found is that when I started my training business, my URL was SEO Training Dallas, okay? And that was great, and I had really good results with that back in 2012 with ranking and relevancy. Well, now Google doesn't really go for URLs that are keyword-based. They go for URLs that are more about building the brand of your business. And so I'm doing pretty much the exact same thing. In early 2016, I'm moving from SEOTrainingDallas.com to Search Engine Academy Texas, which is even a longer URL, but the Search Engine Academy has a brand, Texas has a brand attached to it. And as long as you're still working with doing all the other things that you're supposed to be doing with your digital marketing plan, your social, your blogging, your providing great content, then you shouldn't, you know, in the long run, and I would say, you know, within a couple of months, you should be able to keep that website traffic very relevant and possibly even find some new opportunities.
Very, very good point, Beth. One of the things that we want people to understand with redirects, be it when you're moving a site or individual URLs, is how Google treats the value and the authority, and we won't use the term link juice. I'm certainly with you on that.
Yeah.
About how they consolidate those on a move. And this is, you know, a topic of debate. For many years, Matt Cutts would say that, you know, 301s didn't redirect full authority. There's still some conjecture on that topic. Mostly, most SEOs, I assume that's in that audience will agree that about 90 to 99% of your authority will go through a 301 redirect. But they are changed.
Yes.
It's a little bit different when you're doing actual full redirects to a domain. You know, if you're going www to a non-www, or even recently Google came out and said, if you're going to be moving from HTTP to HTTPS, we're going to give you full authority. That's going to be passed over. And that's them publicly saying this. I mean, they've said, you know, Gary Iles reiterated this in State of Search. It's also something that John Mueller has said in his, you know, from Google Switzerland. So it is something for those of you on the call to think about. People are moving sites every day. You know, Google, especially with regards to the movement to HTTPS, they want to make this as easy to embrace as possible. So it bears repeating that they're probably going to make sure that you're going to get full 100% authority moved over from HTTP to HTTPS URLs. Now they're even saying, don't even bother doing the redirects. If we recognize that there's a certificate on your server, we're just going to show HTTPS URLs in the index. I mean, that's a very, very vocal way of saying, very vocal way of saying, don't worry about it. We're going to do the heavy lifting. You're going to get the full authority. So something to think about if you're hesitant about changing a URL, or especially if you're doing a full site migration move, is, you know, most of that authority really is going to play over. Continuing on, I know Debbie has a great question here on shortening URLs. Her question is, doesn't shortening the URL to make it more SEO friendly, doesn't Google consider that a brand new URL? Google has indexed the longer URLs, and the shorter URLs might have a SERP history. So, you know, maybe you'd want to just clarify her thoughts for her real quick.
Well, you know, I think the big thing here is that your longer URLs are the ones that Google is really paying attention to. They realize that the shorteners are simply there for convenience. So in all the years that I've been doing SEO, I have never seen those shortened URLs be the ones that are in Google's index. Casey, well, I don't know if you have that either, but I've never seen that.
Not really.
They're just strictly there for convenience.
And I think she's also saying, again, Beth, that what if you shorten the URL? For example, I have a blog, and I'm going to be removing the dates from my URL. So that's going to shorten the URL and make it a little bit more SEO friendly. So I assume you would, you know, again, I'm of the belief that that is definitely good for users. When we're talking about evergreen content, we want to make the content look
take
as
the dates out
as possible. So taking the dates out.
Right.
So Debbie, if that's kind of what you're talking about, you know, it isn't something you'd avoid. It's something that you always want to think about the users. If, for example, we have a resource coming out for the February issue of Search Engine News, which talks specifically about, you know, using the plugins that Beth mentioned, redirection. Another one is Simple 301 Redirects, which allows you to refine and shorten URLs in a blog to remove dates. So it's definitely something that you'll read a little bit more next month. Very good question.
That's terrific. That is a very good question. And that is definitely good to point out about the evergreen content too. That would be another really good kind of like one of the reasons you would want to consider doing a site, you know, site migration, is how are you changing your content to be evergreen?
Exactly. I see this a ton in the recipe niche, where, you know, people will psychologically do a search for a banana cream pie recipe, and they might notice that the recipe was published in 2012 or 2013. So they maybe unconsciously will think, maybe this recipe isn't as current or as accurate as it could be, and then they'll just go back and re-choose another result that might either doesn't have a date in the URL or maybe is more recent. So it's certainly something that those on the call need to be aware of. So Tracy has a great question here. Her question is, I've always wondered if I should set up the 301s after I actually move the site or just before deciding on the site migration.
Well, that's a good question. I would do it after you move the site. You wouldn't want to do it just before, because you wouldn't want there to be, I mean, the search engine robots work awfully quickly. Mm-hmm. So I would move the site, and then as quickly as you can after that, implement the 301s. If it's a day or two, it's probably not going to be a horrible thing. Or, you know, I've even seen it go a week, but I wouldn't wait any longer than that to do your 301s, but it would be post moving your site.
Now, you covered sitemaps in your presentation, right? So let's go over again how people should approach the sitemaps, you know, letting Google know, you know, I've moved the site. Do they want, should we be advising people to, we need to put the old URLs as well and kind of submit a sitemap that way so Google knows to crawl those old URLs and find the new URLs? Do you submit both sitemaps? How would you approach that?
That's a really good question. I would just submit the new sitemap because I would want them to start recognizing the new URLs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would do the 301 redirects to give them the information that they needed. I mean, they're obviously going to be coming back and taking a look at the site because they're going to see that something happened. But I like the idea of that technique of going, hey, here's something new.
Right.
But to me, if you are submitting a new sitemap at the same time you're going live with your site, then that's going to also alert them to that.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good point, especially with domain names. It makes sense that if you just refresh your old sitemap and all of those old URLs are going to be 301 redirected, Google's going to be able to process those a little bit faster.
Exactly.
Get them out
exactly.
of the index. So definitely something to think about. So let's go ahead and keep going through the questions here. Let's see here. Rick. Rick's question is added info to the domain change. It would be done in conjunction with making the site fully secure and responsive. So I guess his question is, if you're already thinking about going responsive or you're already thinking about making the switch to HTTPS, so you're putting a site migration move in that as well, or a domain or URL change is just probably good practice, right? Right,
absolutely. Yeah, that's 100% true. Because, I mean, you wouldn't want to – it makes sense to just do everything at one time rather than in piecemeal. Because, again, I mean, we could go – depending on the size of your site, we could go back to that example from that article about the large e-commerce site. You know, you redirect things too many times, too close to each other, and you run the risk of maybe losing some of that link page authority.
Very, very true. Change redirects should definitely be avoided or minimized whenever possible. So William's up next with a question, a follow-up on redirects. When possible, we try to keep the exact same URLs on the new site that were on the old, where possible.
Yes.
Yeah, my feeling is a redirect can cost you some of visibility, even if done properly. Is that correct?
In the short term, possibly, but not in the long term.
Right.
You know, because Google is just getting smarter and smarter, so they're able to see that you've moved it. Going back to Casey's point about Google wants to make it easy for us as possible. So I wouldn't really, when you do the site move is the smartest time to edit your URLs because you might have some more SEO friendly opportunities at that time. So I wouldn't, you know, I mean, in some cases you want to leave it the same because it's already that way. But in other cases you may go, this doesn't really tell the search engines very much information if it's just, you know, the URL is not as descriptive. So it really just depends on the situation. If you want to change it, but if you do change it, I don't think you're going to see a big long-term change in traffic from that.
Exactly. And again, you know, Google, folks on the call, people are changing, or they're changing URLs and redirecting to new domains right now as we speak. It's happening all the time, every day, all the time. So Google's really pretty good about, you know, figuring some of this stuff out, even if you miss a step along the way. I mean, that's why they have a full section on under Google Webmaster Guidelines about, you know, migrating a site. And they have a nice little step there. You know, what do you do if you're moving a site with URL changes? What are you doing if you're moving a site without URL changes? So definitely check that information out. Continuing on here, Julie has a question. Where in the Yoast plugin do you find the place to tell Yoast which canonical tag to use?
Well, they just recently updated the plugin, but I believe it is not on the – it's definitely – not on the page by page one. I mean, you do, it pulls that information from the name of your page at the top of WordPress. But if there's anything else, it'd be in the general settings of the of Yoast. Am I remembering that correctly, Casey?
Well, I think that
your
Julie,
recollection yeah. too?
Julie, this is a good question. Basically, you know, the good thing about the Yoast plugin is it does a lot of the heavy lifting for you, including enabling
without
the
even having to do anything
as you want. Now, if you wanted to specify maybe a different canonical, there used to be a right below the post, which is now the rich snippet preview. You could just click a button mm-hmm. and pop down would be these advanced SEO settings where you could actually specify, you know, a unique canonical, or you could actually put a robot directive, whatever you want. I don't believe that's changed. I think those are still there. So you might want to just check on
section.
That.
In the advanced section. Okay.
Yeah, it's just right below mm-hmm. each of the posts. So pretty easy to use, Julie, but honestly, for most of you on the call, you're probably never going to use that stuff unless you have a reason to publish a post and then immediately block it. So just something to think about. But yeah, if you want require some more information on that, you know, I know Yoast has a substantial user guide online that should have that information. Continuing on, let's see, Barbara has a question. In regard to crawl stats, and I believe she's talking about Google Search Console, can this be used if a new site has replaced Google Analytics with Adobe Omniture? Will Google Search Console work without Google Analytics?
Yes. Google Search Console will definitely work without Google Analytics. You'll just have to approve it in a different way. And so when you go, you know, like for instance, if all of a sudden all my clients changed away from Google Analytics and started using Omniture, I would probably have to go into many of them and change the way that I verified the site, because most of the time I verify the site by saying, oh, well, I have control over the Google Analytics code.
Correct.
But you can also use other methods to approve, which includes approving at the host level. So if there's things that you can do through GoDaddy, or whoever who's hosting the site, that you can add some information so that you can have access to that.
Very good point. So yeah, folks, that Google Search Console, the search query information that you see in Search Console is not going to change just because you've stopped using analytics. But yeah, Beth has nailed it completely. You definitely will have to change how you verify the site going forward. Stacy has a great question here. Would you please explain why the third name change for the bar stools example reduced the ranking? Should they have stayed with the more generic bar stools? I believe the second one.
That's a very good question. I would recommend that you go over to Moz and read that article, just because I think it's an interesting article. It's been passed around to me by people that didn't even know I was working on this presentation. I've got like three emails today. Did you see this article? But basically the reason, Stacy, is because they were changing the URL too frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And on all of their products. It wasn't just the bar stools. That was just an example. So they have thousands of products on this website, and they were trying to be better about naming their URLs. But when they 301 redirected, and then a few months later, they 301 redirected again on many, many products, then it was Google was kind of like a little bit confused, which is as we've been saying, they're pretty smart. But in this particular case, with it being so many products, Google was like, wait a minute, what's going on? Why do they keep redirecting? And so they were not passing the full page authority from one version of the web page to the next. Casey, do you have anything else on that might clarify that?
What you just want to remember is, again, we talked about change redirects previously, and even though, you know, redirects, 301 redirects will pass most authority, if you go redirect, that's just less of that authority every time. So it makes sense that if you have to 301 redirect a URL to another URL, and then you're going to 301 redirect that one again, you're going to get loss of authority every time you do that. So just aware, that's why we want to minimize redirects whenever possible. So let's talk about here, Evan has a question here. I was torn on changing URLs. For example, I want to really go after a few high volume keyword phrases and get an exact match with new URL. So currently it is /fly-fishing, but I want it to be /Montana-fly-fishing. How do you determine if it makes sense to add another term in the URL to get an exact match for powerful keywords?
Well, one of the things is if the content of your website is talking about Montana pretty prevalently in it, obviously in a natural way, not where it looks like it's keyword stuffing, then I don't know that I'd chase through and change all of them. But I think it makes a whole lot of sense if you're not going to be selling fly fishing outside the state of Montana to go ahead and add that to your URL. But I wouldn't, you know, again, it would be where I wouldn't like experiment with it. I would just make a decision to go ahead and do it. Because to me, if you have the URL be Montana-fly-fishing, that's very relevant from an SEO standpoint. And I would just weigh that against the other SEO factors that you have on your page, and then also how many incoming links you have to that page, and all the things you look at when you audit your site. So it might make a lot of sense to make that change, but you need to look at how authoritative that page is overall before you, you know, flip the switch.
Exactly. I would provide this just from my personal preference, and I think that John and others here at SEN would agree. You should never be changing your URLs just to get another keyword phrase in it. It's just not really a good practice from when you think about the long-term ramifications of that. You know, I don't necessarily think, Evan, that you're going to get any huge boost at all from changing fly fishing to Montana fly fishing, especially if you've done an excellent job, you know, with your page titles and your H1 tags and modifying, you know, geographic-specific content on the page itself. We redirects are okay, but we want to try to minimize redirects whenever possible. So this seems like something that would be aesthetic at best. So just something to think about. Jennifer has a question here. She says, how do you move a portion of the site from, example, store.domain.com to just www.domain.com? Do you throw in redirect, or do you redirect each invisible page? In other words, can she just redirect the entire subdomain, or does she have to do page by page redirects on the subdomain to the root domain?
It would depend, of course, you know, a lot of it just has to do with effort at a certain level. But I would definitely prefer to see you do it page by page if that's feasible. If you've got thousands of products, and that may not be feasible, and then I would definitely just go to your www, because as we talked about earlier, Google will figure it out and follow it. But always you want to try and go for from page to page direct redirects as opposed to the whole domain.
Jennifer has another question here. We'll go ahead and get that one. And in your experience, Beth, how long does it take Google to update the new page in the index from the old?
I usually see it happen I'm going to say 30 days, but I've usually seen it happen a lot faster than that. But I think to set expectations, particularly if you're working with clients, 30 days is reasonable. I've seen it happen probably within 2 weeks, but I would hate to promise that to anyone just in case there was an issue.
Very good. That's a very good point. Stephen has a question here. I'm not sure about it. Where can we see the new mobile specs and how they compare to what Webmaster Tools is currently using for evaluation? We are about to start a redesign, but it sounds like we need to revisit.
Oh, yeah. If you will do a Google search for accelerated mobile pages project, which is called, they're, you know, calling it AMP.
AMP.
But it's accelerated mobile pages project. You'll see lots of information on that right now, Stefan, and it'll be able to answer a lot of your questions. There's definitely, you know, if for all the people in this mastermind group, this is an amazing opportunity. You know how early adopters usually kind of get ahead of the game. I would definitely, if you have an opportunity to implement something like that, this would be the time to strike while the iron's hot.
Very good point. And Stefan, we did cover that in the current issue of Search Engine News, and I provided a link over there to the update. So make sure that you review that. And just like anything else, if you remember our conversation, John and I were both kind of hesitant about a lot of people, embracing this very quickly, because there's always bumps in the road. It's just like how, Beth, everyone was excited. We got to make the change to SSL immediately. And here it is a year and a half later. And honestly, there hasn't been a ton of adoption. And for example, in certain niches, the recipe niche is a great example. If they'd made the change to SSL, a lot of them would be completely screwed because most of the ad networks still don't support SSL ads other than AdSense and Amazon. Basically, none of the other big networks have made that move. Yes. So you move to SSL and boom, you can't serve your ads. So that's not a great choice. It's certainly something that, and this AMP thing right now, as John has correctly noted in the article, there's only one WordPress plugin that even remotely
addresses
this, and it's very poor. It's a
that's
very
why
poor
we asked
plugin.
The experts.
Right. So there's only one plugin, and it's very poor so far, according to John. He's still getting a ton of errors.
Oh, that's
on it.
Awful.
So, yeah, folks, just wait and see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. What else we got? Chris has a question about evergreen content. see here. We have great blog posts that are top landing pages that were written as far back as 2010. The URLs don't have dates, but the posts themselves do show the date. Is there any gain of authority to leave some content as older, or is it better to refresh and rerun overall?
That is a very good question. One of the things that I think is also interesting is when Google shows dates in their search results for content that's not a page, I mean, not a post, but a page. That one always blows my mind. I might have a talk with you, Casey, about that later.
Right.
I would say that the posts themselves, if they go back as far as 2010, I think personally you're probably better off not having the date on them, because things move so quickly in the online world that having content with 2010, if I pulled it up and I saw that date, I would see it as not being relevant.
Exactly.
And I think
psychological.
Most people would feel the same way. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Basically, when we're talking about content, Chris, we're talking the whole value of evergreen content is that what you published in 2010 is as relevant today, and I find it hard to believe that most of that content would be as relevant now as it was when you published it. So if you could go in and maybe there's ways for you to improve the page speed of the page. Maybe there's ways for you to optimize the graphics a little bit more, update those, or make sure that all of the links actually work. You know, and then if the URL isn't going to change, just a matter of you hitting republish with those changes, and boom, you generated new freshness boosts into your site that Google can then come back, you know, crawl the site a little bit. Maybe they'll crawl the linked content. I'm all for that. I always tell people that they really need to do content house cleaning every year and really go back. And it's not even a matter of you publishing more content these days. It's just making sure the content you have on your site is relevant. So starting, you know, a content inventory that looks backward is going to be, you know, very beneficial for you in the long run. Okay, so let's go back here. Julie has some questions here. We're almost done, Beth. In my experience, if the URL changes are required for best SEO, I changed them and the results have been great. Sounds like a good comment. Let's see what else we have here. Barbara has a question. All URLs have changed with the new site, and the developer is using a tool within their CMS, which is not WordPress, to redirect nearly 300 pages and posts. Is this going to cause problems before the launch?
You mean after the launch? Okay, let's see. With the new site, I think, yeah. I mean, as long as you don't try and do 301 redirects in multiple places, if you've got the one place where you're doing it all, then no, I don't think so. And then that kind of goes back to Julie's comment, which I like, and it's very true. If the URL changes are aligned with good SEO, which I'm hoping that is the case in Barbara's situation, then no, I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. I've done a site with hundreds of pages like that, and it did not cause any problems. I mean, we tested things after it launched, and the site, as I showed on the presentation, it had a little dip, and then it because the URLs were more relevant along with everything else on the site, then it was then they had a raise in organic traffic after that point.
Right. Okay, we're nearing the end here. I think we've got a couple more questions. We're going to go ahead and have Lisa have the last question today. Lisa's question is, I redesigned a site about a year ago, making it responsive. However, I did not implement the SSL certificate at that time. Since I recently had to do a lot of redirects, should I wait to make it secure so I don't suffer any ranking issues? I understand changing the SSL should be a priority this year. Beth?
I would totally say wait. If you don't, and the reason is that the whole SSL thing, like Casey was just talking about, I wouldn't rush to do it if you've just made your site responsive and everything else about your site you feel really confident about.
Mm-hmm.
I would, you know, make that some, you've got so many priorities when it comes to doing digital marketing for your site. I would work on something else for the rest of 2016. Then take another look at that point in early 2017 about changing. There's no use in making another change at this time, and I think, you know, going back to that example of that other site that you made too many changes, you wouldn't want to risk that. So I would just put your energies into improving other things about your site.
And as always, fantastic advice. So on that note, Beth, thank you so much. For all of you on the call, please let Beth know that you enjoyed the presentation. I'm sure you did, in the comments with some nice stars and comments. And if you're not familiar with Beth, you can find her on Twitter. I think I'm going to go ahead and let's see. Beth, if you have access, you can just paste over in the window your Twitter handle so people can follow you there accordingly. And
okay, in the Q&A or?
Anywhere, and okay. Chris will pull that over for you, so it'll be good to go. So on that note, you guys, I hope you found this enjoyable. Next month's speaker is going to be Greg Gifford. You know, Beth and I both know him very well. He's going to be doing an exceptional presentation on local SEO topics.
And there won't be any bullet points in Greg's presentation.
Greg does not believe in bullet points. He just believes in...
No, he does not. I will say that when you download my presentation afterwards, which I'm assuming it will be available to your mastermind group, that they will be able to read the bullet points and remember what I said.
Exactly. So there is a pro bullet point coalition. Beth is a member, totally fine. She's a card-carrying member, nothing wrong with that. I use bullet points myself. Greg just likes to be a teacher, and so it works well for him. So on that,
yes, he does, but he does a great presentation. So y'all are really enjoy Greg.
Beth, again, sincere thanks. It's a pleasure having you here. And sure. On that note, thanks so much, everyone, and we'll talk to you again, same bat time, same bat station next month. Take care, everyone.
Bye.